International news and information. This is BBC World.
Okay, I didn't realise that had commentary. I was just going to... You're listening... Recover, Christian, recover! One sec. Okay, let's do that again. And again. Hello and welcome to another episode of Australia's premier podcast. This is Complete Drivel with your host this morning, or possibly this evening, or maybe even late at night, or while you're washing up. Who knows where you listen to this absolute utter trash of a podcast. Please welcome to the stage, Christian Ho! Hello everyone. My name is Christian Hull. This is Complete Drivel, episode 71. Thank you so much for joining me. God damn it, I want to be a newsreader so bad. That news music is just so inspiring, and I know I did it last time, but it puts me in like a go-getter mood. And like, I want to be really serious. The BBC just has great news music! I'm not going to lie, I recorded this whole podcast and then deleted it and started again. Because Jesus Christ, it was shit. Warning, I'm going to cough a lot. That was the take. I coughed too much in the last one. I was like, I don't like it. I'm coughing too much. So I deleted it. Could have just edited it out, but nah, that's even more effort. Can I just do a fake news bulletin? Just let me do a fake news bulletin. Oh, it's finishing. Will it restart? Here we go. It's Wednesday, the 17th of May on BBC One, making news this morning. My brain went to Grenfell. I can't make light of that. That's really awful. I'm sorry. That's why I hesitated. I can't. Oh, should I delete this one? No, that's really sad. That's really sad. Okay. I'm just going to press on from that. I'm not going to do any more news. Okay. This podcast. So I spoke about, I answered some questions in the deleted recording. And look, I'm going to open with this one and then we're going to get into sex stories from when I lived in Newcastle on the New South Wales South Coast, because Jesus Christ, all the sex memories came flooding back and they were so good and I'm so jealous and I was living my best life in Newcastle and my God, I'd high five myself. Then if there was a clone of me when I was in Newcastle, because I was thin and I was, look, I'm going to say at my best, I would have had sex with me. I would probably still have sex with me now. Like if you could clone yourself and fool around with yourself, would you do it? 100%. I would do it for my new, like I would pick Newcastle days because they were my good days. And then hopefully when I get to my 40s, I like lose all this weight and get into bodybuilding and become really hot. Oh God, dear Lord, please let me get into bodybuilding in my 40s and become really hot. Okay, so Gianne asks, family pets, list them, and would I ever have pets now that I've moved out of home? I remember, my first pet, I was young, and it was a cat called Cosmo. Great name, I know. And do you know, like, your porn name is your street name and your first pet's name? Cosmo Pennant. Damn it, I wish I lived on Politan Street, because then my nickname would be Cosmopolitan. What a great, no, not nickname, porn name. As if I don't already have a porn account with a porn name and video footage on XTube. I don't look it up. Please don't search Cosmopolitan on XTube. Oh my God, I just realized, maybe I should delete it before I say something. There is actually a video. I uploaded, I got really turned on one time. I uploaded a video to XTube of myself. Just remembered that. That's really funny. I need to delete that ASAP. I don't even know my login details for that account. That was years ago. Shit. Oh, well, that's out there now. You'll never find it. Like, you'll never find it. And if you do find it, you'll be, like, so horrifically turned off. Okay, family pets. So I had Cosmo, and then Cosmo passed away. I don't like to say died. Or was killed at the dentist. I like to say passed away. Went in for a dentistry clean or whatever and passed away. It was really sad. I don't remember the cat at all. I just love the name Cosmo. But then we got another cat and a boy, did my parents top that name. Now, I've never heard this. I heard this name really recently and a human being had it. And I love it. It's weird. Thomasina. What, isn't that the best name? Like Philomena and Thomasina. What great names. Bloody loved Thomasina. It's like you've gone, it's a boy, I'm going to call it Thomas. Damn, it's a girl. Ooh, call it Thomasina. Like you just, you know, make another name. Any Thomasinas out there, I adore you. Oh, I miss Thomasina. She was such a great cat. My dad hated her. Used to kick her. I'm not kidding. My dad was animal brutality. God, maybe that's where I get my hatred of animals from, my dad. Like, I was like, oh, the cat. But I would, like, not pat it. I just love it from afar. And then, then we got a dog, rescue dog called Tiny, because it was so massive. No, it was the smallest dog in the history of the world. It would have been so much better if we called it, like, Biggie or something. Biggie! It's literally the size of a fist. It was very cute, but again, just loved it from afar. And would I ever have pets? No. I hate pets. I don't want to have to look after anything. It's for the pet's own safety and a quality of life, because it would have a poor quality of life if it was with me. I'd forget about it. It would die of hunger. I just go through so many, and I just want me time when I go home. I don't want to have to look after another pet or just love another thing. Like, come on. I need to love myself. Oh. Yeah, take it in that way. Yes, I need to go home and masturbate. As if I don't. Like, come on. I'm not even going to deny it. It's literally what I do when I go. Or search for someone to help me. That's literally my hobby. Like, Kristen, what do you, when you go home from work, put on a wig, make some videos, then just sit there and trawl through Grindr for 7 hours. And some people think it's a sex addiction. And so do I. Well, we're going to get to that because we're going to talk about sex stories from Newcastle. Sex stories. That's just running in the background on YouTube. I just haven't pushed pause. I just have to turn this little fadery thing up and it plays. And that's the news headlines on May 17th. Please welcome news anchor Christian Hull. Good evening. Thank you for that introduction. In breaking news this morning, lighting company McLightingsonstein has gone into receivership, causing many homes to lose power. Lighting McLightingsonstein spokeswoman Trish Lighting McSteen had this to say.
God, my creative brain is just on fire today, isn't it?
Okay. So I'd moved out of home. And I was living in Adelaide and I came back home. This is all family pets related still. And I got home and it was late at night and Mum had prepared dinner and I was sitting there. And I'd been at home for like maybe half an hour before Mum handed dinner. Like, come on, Mum. Been here for half an hour. No, that's not what I was trying to say. That's so mean. I just was like, oh, the dog hasn't come to say hello. Is he sleeping? Where's Tiny? Where's our dog? Where's our beloved family pet we've had for 13 years, Mum? And as she leant down to put the plate on the table, God, I sound like such a needy child. Make me dinner and bring it to me, Mum. So, which she did. She put it down. She just had this pale, awful look on her face. And she sort of clutched her hands and took a step back. And I went, the dog died. And she goes, yes. The dog died. Well, she didn't say that. She said, Tiny. She just pointed to a photo of Tiny. I was like, oh, that's a cute photo. Behind an urn, are they his ashes? Mum's like, Tiny died. I was like, oh, my God, why didn't you tell me? I was like, when? You ready for this? Are you ready for this jelly? My mum said to me, when I asked her when the dog died, she replied with, oh, about a month ago. Sorry, a month? The dog's been dead for a month. Okay. Ooh, this beef is delicious, Mum. I love it. They just didn't tell me the family pet that I, in my formative years, grew up with. And yes, I had maybe not as much of a bond to this pet as my brothers or my mother or my father. But I was still like, oh, it was a family member, Mum. And you didn't tell me he died? God, isn't she awful? And with that dog death segue, let's talk sex stories from Newcastle. Music really doesn't suit the theme. Okay, so At 23 years old, on the 5th of January, I was 22. So my birthday's on the 6th of January. And on the 5th of January, when I was 22, I lost my virginity. And it was amazing. That was on the previous podcast I deleted. It was a really long, boring story. Let me give you the highlights of the virginity story because it's still like, it's super hot. It was a tall Italian guy, lightly hairy, muscular, so attractive. And they just slipped it in. Just, I didn't even know it was coming. Or it didn't actually come. But I just slipped it in and it was weird. It was weird. It was not awful. But then it was just, I wasn't the greatest feeling of all time. But he liked it, so I just lay there. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Doesn't actually sound as hot as I pictured in my mind, but it was. It was really good. So at 23, I got a job in Newcastle at the radio station NXFM. Christian, did you ever hook up with anyone in the studio? Yes, I did. And I hope people I know who work there are listening. Oh, they've moved studios since. It was in an old church. The studio was in an old church and the actual studios where you talked on air, like I am sort of now, was the morgue section. Where dead people were. And I worked there, like, I did the late night shift where all I had to do was monitor to make sure things were going to air. I didn't have to really do anything. And I was the only one in the building. And I was like, oh, this is scary. I better invite someone over and we can just fool around. And we used to go, well, we wouldn't do it on the, on like the NX studio. There was a studio in the middle and it was a spare studio. I think there was one guy that lived really close to the studio and he just like, you free? I'm like, you bet I'm free. Come on round. Turn the lights out, go to the middle studio. No cameras. There was no cameras in the building. And I was just, you know, God. Yeah. But apparently I'm not the only one. I've heard stories about people having some fun in there. So I thought I'd just add my name to the list. What was I going to sing? That's a sex story from Newcastle. Anyway, so I got the job there, and so I ended up moving when I was 23 to Newcastle. So first time out of home, the first freedom. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to move out on my own and have as much sex as physically possible. Freedom to have relations. And I was in no mood for love. I was in mood for lust. No, I was just in, I was in mood for the nude. That's a great thing. Well done, Christian. High five. That was a high five. So my parents were like, no, you're not moving out alone. We're too scared. Oh, you'll get killed. Ugh. So I moved in with this guy and he was weird. And long story short, I never wanted to be at the home because it was weird and gross and it was weird and gross and I didn't like it. So I never had anyone over. Oh, that's a lie. I had a lot of people over. Not as much as I do now. But so I decided, I finished my late night shift at 10. And then in the summer months, I was like, you know, I'd just done a full shift. I wasn't tired. I was sort of had a bit of adrenaline. I don't know what you call it. I was just awake. So I was like, oh, I've got 4 more hours before I'm going to go to bed. So I'd walk along the beach. Now, I lived in Merriweather, beautiful suburb in Newcastle, along this huge, long stretch of beach. And there was a sort of a walking track just before you get to the sand. There was this concrete walking track. It's probably about 3 kilometers long. So I just walk up, back, go home, go to bed. And so I do this every night and I lost quite a bit of weight. I got quite fit. Was looking good, feeling great. And then maybe a month into doing this walking sort of every night, things started to get a bit, if you know what I mean. You don't. Let me explain. So this walking track at like, you know, 11:30 at night was relatively busy with just men, no women. You know, they'd be walking along this track. And I was like, oh, people also want to be fit like me. I was a little bit naive. Then I realized, no, nah, at the end of the track was a spot that was hidden that men went to have sex with each other. Yeah, I know, right? And I didn't know that, like, I know it now, but I didn't know it then. And so I didn't know it for months. Oh, that's a lie. I didn't know it for weeks. So I started walking. There's the sex thing at the end of the path, but I didn't realize that. So I'd walk to the end of the path and back again. And always at this one spot, there was a lot of men sitting in cars. I just was like, oh, what's good? They're probably just, you know, doing drugs or whatever. It's Newcastle. And one night, I was walking past and there was this really attractive guy. He was younger. He would have been like, I was 23. He would have been about 20. And he's really fit, really hot. And I just looked at him and was like, oh, he's hot. And I was like, I want to get a look from the back end. So I turned around and he had turned around and was looking at me. He was checking me out. And I was like, still got it. First of all, I was like, oh, I didn't realize I had it. And I was like, do I have it? Oh, no, he's throwing up. Okay. He's throwing up. I made him throw up. He didn't. He didn't. Okay. He was like really into it. Anyway, we walked past. I was feeling really confident. Got to the end, then started walking back. And I noticed he was doing the same. Like, we were walking in opposite directions. And then we crossed paths again. But this time, he stopped me and decided to have a chat, which I thought was weird, but great, because he was hot. And I was like, oh, he's hitting on me. I was like, yes. And this is before I really sort of had opened up into my abominably sexually promiscuous, I will do anything anywhere face. And so I was a little nervous and we were talking and then he said, oh, follow me. And he took my hand. It was a bit gross, but sort of romantic, but like, oh, I'm not a romance person. My romance is get your dick out. That's so romantic that you got your dick out. And he said, it takes me down onto the beach. And I was initially like, oh, nothing's going to happen. It's too sandy. Like, can't do anything. And then we start making out and then other things happened. Like that quickly. I was like, wow, this is great. And then he said, do you come here often? I'm like, yeah, I'm here every night. He's like, every night? I'm like, yeah, I just live there. Like, I walk every night. And he's like, oh, do you get much action? I was like, I don't know what you mean. And he goes, oh, well, just down there. There's the thingy, my bobby with all the dudes. And I was like, oh, that's what that is. And he goes, yeah, you didn't know. I'm like, nah, this is the first time I've ever done anything in the first month of walking here. And he goes, oh, yeah, no, it's super active. So I was like, great, now I have a mission. And so anyway, we wrap it up. We head on home. And then, the next night, I decided to go exploring. So you get to the end of the path, and then I would turn around and walk back. But no, I got to the end of the path, and then there was a little dirt trail. I was like, oh, should I take it? And like, if you're familiar with Mary... Whether, I don't know if I should be, am I revealing? Nah, it's, everyone knows it's there. Do they? I don't know. There's a lot of just men loitering around. And so I just was like, oh, okay. This is a bit scary. It was a bit scary. So I walked down this path. And then I think how it works is you sort of slowly walk around, people look at you, and then you walk down this path. And if they're interested, they'll follow you. And so I walked down this path. And it's really dark. It's pitch black. So I'm walking down this path and, you know, you walk along the sand and there's some pipes and some bits and you walk around the rocks and then, you know, I walked into a sex fest. I was like, whoa, there's lots of people here. And by lots, I mean four people, which is a lot of people. And those four people were, you know, doing things. I don't think they were doing penetrative things. Actually, I think. And I was like, whoa, this is, yeah, whoa. My little innocentness was just, I was like, my innocence was gone at that point. I was like, my God, I didn't realize this happens. How do I get in on this action? Anyway, I freaked out and I left. And I never really did, I was never really game enough to join in or do anything. Like, it just terrified me. And at that stage, I was living my best life, but I thought I was fat and ugly. Oh, don't you hate that when you look photos of you when you're younger and you're like, ooh. Oh, no, you're not. What am I trying to say? No, at the time, you were like, ooh, I feel gross and ugly. Oh, I don't like my body. Flash forward 10 years, you're like, man, was I good then. Why didn't I not haul that around more? I could have gotten heaps more action. But at the time, oh, I'm ugly. No one will want me. So I didn't really do anything. I wasn't really confident. But I kept walking every night because I didn't like being at home with this guy that I lived with. And so I do the walk and I just see, I just observe all the dudes. Like, it wasn't like there was a crowd of men. It was like one or two a night you'd see. And you're like, I know what you're doing. Or you'd walk past the car park. You're like, I know why you're here. Anyway, I worked up the courage once. It's so illegal, I think. I'm pretty sure it's pretty illegal. And did some stuff over there. And then, you know, I did most of the stuff I did was at home. Or down on the sand. Such a whore. But there was this one time, okay, this one time, it all went tits up, right? It all went so, so very wrong. Let me tell you what happened. So I'd been living in Newcastle, I think, for about a year and a half now. So, you know, pretty confident, knew what I was doing. In Merriweather, I was like owning it, knew exactly what was going on, very confident. So I'm walking, doing the walking track, and I walked to this spot and there was no one around. There was this one guy who was drinking a beer. Now the spot, it's there's a like a pub just like maybe like 200 meters up. So it's obvious he'd come from the pub, but he still had a beer and he was sort of just sitting down on this little bench table on the path. But it wasn't near the place where, you know, that stuff goes on. But I was like, he's really attractive. I'm going to have a go. I know why he's here. I know why he's here. So then I just sort of stop and I'm standing and looking out at the beach. It's black. Can't see anything. Like, it's nighttime. So I'm pretending to look out to the beach. And I'm just there. And I'm just there waiting because I'm just sort of sussing out what he's doing. Because if he goes away, then I know, like, not interested, or he's just not here for that and blah, blah, blah. But he's sort of just there. He's just there. And I'm just there as well. And we're in close, but he's on one of the benches sitting down at this table, picnic table. And I'm maybe 20 meters on the railing, this white railing, looking out into the beach of nothing. And 20 minutes goes by and I'm like, oh God, mate, what are you doing? I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to make some sort of move here to suss out what he's doing. So I look around at him. Look back at the beach. Oh, shit. Do I want to do this? Like, I was still nervous. Like, I was confident. Like, I knew what was going on. And I knew why we were there. So I was like, yeah, all right. Maybe. Oh, my God. I'm so body conscious. Maybe he's not into me. Ugh, shut up. So I turn back around. And then I look back at the beach. And then 5 minutes go by as I'm trying to work myself up to maybe go over. In that time, he gets up. And he comes over to me. I'm like, yes, great. He's making the first move. And he goes, oh, is everything all right? I'm like, yeah, yeah. How are you? Good, good, good. He goes, do you want to sit down and talk about it? I'm like, do I? So we go back to these benches where he was. And he's like, you know, we talk a bit about ourselves. And he's like, oh, is everything okay in your life? I was like, this is weird. What's he doing? And I was like, yeah, you know, things are going great. And I didn't know why I asked that question. I was like, oh, what's going on in your life? He's like, oh, you know, recently got dumped by the girlfriend. I was like, ooh, this guy's, he's curious. Or, no, I was pretty, at that point it was Adam. I was like, oh, he's looking for a bit of man love. Well, he's come to the right place. So anyway, the conversation isn't going anywhere. And I say to him, like, do you want to go just like behind the building? Because there's this surf club. I was like, do you want to go over? It's behind here. And he goes, what? I'm like, but do you want to go behind the building? And then he goes, what do you mean? And at that moment I go, holy shit. This guy has no idea what he's walked into. Like, he doesn't realize what people do here. And I'm soliciting him. And I shouldn't be. So I thought, oh my God, he's a cop. So he's like, what? What are you talking about? And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. At that point, I go, okay, if I tell him what, he's going to probably beat me up, stab me, and leave me to die. Do I just go down the drug route and say, oh, sorry, man, I thought you wanted some drugs. I've got some drugs. No, anyone would believe this little flamboyant gay had drugs. So I said, oh my God, sorry, I misread the situation. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, well, and I told him like what this area was. It's like a pickup place. And he was like, what, really? Oh my God. Now, to this day, I don't know whether he was playing ignorance or like he was pretending that he didn't know or he genuinely didn't know. My thoughts is he genuinely didn't know because it's hotter. It's hotter for the story. So I freaked out and then I told him and I thought, oh my God, what's going to happen? And he's like, oh yeah, oh no, I'm not into that. And you know, well, right, oh. And he's like, oh, I thought you were looking off into the beach because you were depressed and you were maybe going to go and drown yourself. And I was like, Jesus, no, that's not why. I was just hanging around because I thought you were, you know, wanting something and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I was then going to go get up and leave and apologize, but he kept asking questions and I kept like getting up to leave and then sitting down and answering these questions. And they were like really weird questions about my personal life. And I was like, oh, he's very curious. So I spoke to him, what goes on, what happens, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, do you want to go get a beer? And I was like, no, I don't drink. And you know, like if nothing's going to happen, I've wasted 45 minutes of my time here trying to crack onto you and get your pants off and nothing has happened. I'm going to move on to the next person. So I get up to go and leave and he goes, oh, well, how about you come back to my room? I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm just staying at the pub. There's a room. I've got a room. And I'm like, oh my God. This is about to happen. Anyway, we're walking back to his place and we get to his room. And then the conversation goes from my personal life to his. And he was like, oh, I'm, you know, upset about losing my girlfriend, but you know, I've always wanted to try stuff. And I was like, mate, my clothes are already off. Hurry up. And then we had to turn the lights off. So it was pitch black. And we fooled around and it was amazing. And I was like, I just totally fooled around with a straight guy. High five to that. Anyway, that was my sex story. It turned into like, I don't want to go into the details of it because it's a little, like, I feel like I've just shared a lot about how much of a whore I am with you. Sex stories from Newcastle. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Sex Stories from Newcastle. I think I've told you my other ones. In Newcastle, I had the fireman come over. Oh, yeah, I told you the other ones about the dude who had children. That's episode 69. What a surprise. Go back and listen to that one if you haven't. That's an eye-opening episode. You can't just listen to that one if you haven't listened to more than 68 episodes. So the 68 episodes before episode 69, it's a lead-up. And then, bam, I just hit you with some really relatively full-on information about a dude with children that I didn't know. I didn't know. Okay. Well, this has gone for half an hour. Oh, my God. I really dragged that story out. Is there another, like, quick story I can tell you? Not really, no. But Newcastle, God damn it. Did I live my best life in Newcastle? Yes, I did. I moved around a lot. Lived in Merriweather, then lived at Cole Point, and then lived at I don't want to say Toronto. Toronto in Newcastle, there's a good side and there's a just don't ever go there side. But I was on the good side, near, like almost on the lake. And my God, it was a tree house and I lived on my own. And that was living my best life. Anyway, thanks. Thanks so much again for listening. And don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast and hear more utter trash and whorishness. This has been Complete Drivel. My name's Christian Hull. Until tomorrow night. We'll see you then. And then it ends with some news clips of dogs skateboarding. Just imagine the dog skateboarding. I'm definitely doing that now. And then how else? And then it just fades out. And then it goes into like the more in-depth political report, doesn't it? The straight cut to the news finishing and, hi, I'm Lee Sanders and this is the 7:30 report. Tonight, John Howard called into question for policies regarding marriage equality. And then it launches into their like more political, more in-depth. No. I want to tell you a story. next podcast, I'm going to tell you a story about a news broadcast that blew my mind. A live news broadcast by the skin of its teeth. It involved Kerry O'Brien, the 7:30 Report, and the ABC. If you're Australian, you'll know who those people are if you're my age. I'm going to talk to you about it next episode. It's amazing. Bye!